is Rush Hour. Why? Quote, because it is funny. Yeah.
Can you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's classic.
Here's the next one. If he could have only one thing to read while stranded on an island, he would choose...
The Da Vinci Code.
Uh-uh.
The Bible.
That's what he thought, he said. In fact, he said ESPN the magazine.
That's gonna get just the 1 month.
Yeah. I mean,
the same month over and over again.
They were going to drop me. They were going to drop me. They were going to drop in monthly issues. No question.
You. Okay. A subscription from the Lost Island. Yeah. All right. His favorite teachers have been, would you care to give
teachers?
Them? Teachers. Yeah, the people that...
I'd say Miss Levins in fifth grade.
No.
She was hot.
James Hillen,
baseball coach,
and Gary Harrington, because they were my baseball coaches.
Yeah, that's my guys, man. Coach Harrington was great.
Oh man, this is just priceless. Okay, here's what Clint Sterner said in his inside information in 1999. Before his life ends, he hopes to, quote,
I have no clue,
make a bunch of money and have a happy, healthy family. Well, it's 0 for 3, Chief.
Oops.
Oh, three. If he could go anywhere, it would be. It's a country. I'll give you a hint.
I have no idea.
Australia. What are you going to do in Australia?
No clue. You couldn't pay me to go to Australia right now.
I love this. Edward's on. Edward, we're getting right to you, buddy. Right to you. Hi, Edward.
You guys work.
Edward, this is great. I love this because we used to do a segment. Actually, I'm going to bring it back. It was called Where Are They Now? And I would track down former athletes. It didn't have to be Razorbacks. Could have been anybody. And we'd dig through and see where they're at now. We just got on, I don't know if you remember Boo Williams. He's a wide receiver for Arkansas. Played a couple years in the NFL. He played in the late 90s, and we got him on, talked to him a little bit. But he was recently on Dog the Bounty Hunter. He was a bounty hunter in New Orleans.
Oh, nice.
So through that, I picked out one of the old 1999 media guides from the Razorbacks, and we're going through Clint Sterner to see if he remembers any of the information he gave for his inside information back then.
But let me tell you what I remember about that. I remember sitting around a table with some other guys going, is this guy serious? Is this a serious question?
This is great.
I mean, we need to be out there practicing and throwing the ball around, and we're in here filling out this silly questionnaire. What in the hell is going on?
Here's the question. His favorite day is... Quote, what did you think he said?
I have no idea.
Friday.
He said Friday because it's the beginning of the weekend.
That's probably, hey, that's about the only accurate thing that still holds up.
That's actually a well thought out answer. Hey, Pat, before we continue any further, we got to make this official.
The stars shine the brightest down south.
Early needs a block. That's back 30, 40, 50. Early won't be caught. 40. Say goodbye. Go, Todd. Go. 50, 10. 100-yard touchdown!
And listeners want to know all they can about their favorite team.
Play action, fake mock, plenty of time, rainbow, seam pattern, white, touchdown Missouri!
If you want to know who's trending up and who's trending down in college football's Premier League, your wait is over.
Sweep left side, that's Williams inside the 5, Jay Will at the goal line, touchdown Arkansas! Williams from 6 yards out, and the Razorbacks are an extra point away from tying this one up.
It's time to get the scoop on what's happening in the Southeastern Conference with ESPN's SEC blogger extraordinaire, Edward Eschoff.
Right up the middle, he might go 10-5. He is in
I gotta testify. Edward Eschoff! Welcome back into the zone, buddy.
When Justin is away, the mice will play, I see.
It is an acre-free zone, my friend. We like to give it back to the people. One more of Clint Sterner's incredible insight. I mean, back in 99, what were you, 20, 22, 23?
I was born in 77, so that would put me at what?
Well, you're an old man. Well, I mean, it's just amazing the kind of insight you had as a young man. It's just priceless.
I was 21, Chief.
He wants to spend New Year's Eve, quote...
Vegas.
Nope. Anybody want to chime in?
New York City.
No, he actually gave a good answer. At the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans because we won NCAA championship.
Bam, there you
nice.
Go.
All right.
Edward, which leads me to my question. The College Football Playoff Committee came out the top 25 once again on Tuesday. Who do you think is going to be playing for an NCAA championship this year? What are your thoughts on the top 25? Any surprises?
I wasn't. I picked that that first, or I guess second Final Four perfectly. You know, dust my shoulders off a little bit. I figured it would be that order. I like Oregon. I like Oregon and Auburn right now. I think they're the two hottest teams in the country. I still think Oregon certainly has some issues on that offensive line, and the defense has to play better. But I really, really like what Auburn's doing. They look exactly like last year's team, except for the fact that their offense is playing faster and it's better. Cameron Artis Payne is already ahead of Trey Mason's pace last year in rushing yards.
That's hard to believe. As amazing as Trey Mason was last year.
You know what's hard? You know what's hard to believe about those guys with Malzahn in that system is how he keeps those backs healthy. The fact that Trey Mason stayed healthy last year is unbelievable. And then now the fact this kid stayed—I mean, he carries a load, son, every week.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe that those guys stay healthy, man.
Yeah, and the smart thing for Gus Malzahn is he keeps talking about we have a power running game. They work it to the outside of those tackles as much as possible. Those guys don't take a lot of big hits. They get a lot of carries, and they're involved a lot, but they make sure that they're not running through the middle on every single play, and that's smart. I mean, they really work that read option well. And Nick Marshall has been fantastic. He already has more passing yards than he had at this point last year. I think he's only a couple hundred yards off of what he had total last season. He already has more rushing touchdowns. I mean, the guy is playing out of his mind. He is throwing the ball downfield better than I thought he would, and I think that's been the key. I mean, this defense still has some issues. They have some problems turning it over early in the season, especially against Mississippi State in that loss, but they're winning games like they did last season. That Ole Miss game and the South Carolina game are two perfect examples. It comes down to the wire, and you get a crazy two guys on the field wearing the number one jersey, doesn't get called. Scoring drive in the third quarter against Ole Miss to erase a 10-point lead for the Rebels. They had 12 men on the field on third down, right after a third down. And then, obviously, the horrific fumble injury for Laquon Treadwell. It's just another play that works out in the favor of Auburn. And they're lucky, but they're also really good. Gus Malzahn, you don't win that many games just being lucky. They know what they're doing out there. And if their defense starts to play better, I mean, their pass rush has to improve. I think right now they might be the best team in the country. There's no dominant team, but I'd pick them to beat any of those four teams, including Mississippi State, which they've already played.
We were talking about situational football earlier in the show with some of the things that the Razorbacks were doing, and it just seems like Gus Malzahn has those guys ready for any kind of situation before the – it's amazing how it seems like he's always thinking one step ahead of what can happen.
Well, you got
him and
Rhett Lashley on the field at the same time, I mean, are going to miss very, very few situations and opportunities that arise. They're going to miss very few of them. They're going to capitalize on most of those situations. And now they got a quarterback that Edward just mentioned in Nick Marshall. That's last year, he probably slowed him down a little bit. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe, but I mean, I've got some guys that have talked to Malzahn. They said, man, when they started the season, first five or six games, Nick Marshall didn't know half the offense. So he's only getting better. Now they got a quarterback that they can trust and that knows a little bit more about what's going on. They ain't gonna miss much, man. They're good. Edward, is Nick Marshall getting overlooked? In your opinion, for the Heisman this year?
I think he was until that game against Ole Miss. I mean, he threw for 254 yards and two touchdowns. He ran for two more touchdowns. He already has four games with more than 200 yards passing. That's as much as he had last year. He already has five games with 100 yards rushing. That's what he had four last season. Just like you said, he's a better overall player. He's a more well-rounded player. And I think getting a signature win like that on the road, night game, incredible environment, basically a play-in for the playoff and also to stay in the SEC West race, he's going to start getting looks. He was on my Heisman ballot. I had him at number five. I think it's only going to go up if they beat Alabama, if they beat Georgia this weekend. People are going to start to see him more and more. And I really think the big thing with him is he's so quiet. He never talks. You don't really know what kind of personality he has. And, in this day and age, it's the guys who can stand in front of the cameras and smile. And obviously they have to be good, but it's a little bit of a popularity contest. I mean, look, if Marcus Mariota wasn't as great of a player as he is, I don't think a lot of people would be talking about him because he's, no disrespect, but he's kind of boring. Dak Prescott's incredibly nice. We've heard the stories about you know, his personal life. He's a great player. He's a great player. He reminds a lot of people of Tim Tebow. People love that, and he's good enough. I think for Nick Marshall, if he were a more flamboyant personality, people would be respecting him more in the Heisman race, but I don't think he cares. He's playing a lot better, flying under the radar, but I think he's going to start to rise here in the next few weeks.
Anything else stick out to you with the College Football Playoff Committee rankings?
I think it's going to be interesting what happens with Kansas State and TCU. They have a chance to really impress the playoff committee. And Jeff Long came on and said Tuesday night, when they looked at the tape, they said Alabama is better than TCU. Well, they're both going to have perfect opportunities to keep going. I wonder if Alabama, you know, barely beats LSU, barely beats Mississippi State, barely beats Auburn. You know, they're clearly going to go to the SEC championship game after that point and be in the playoff. But let's say that it gets a little closer. I mean, TCU plays two defenses that rank 75th and worst nationally in scoring defense. They're going to put up a ton of points. Boykin looks absolutely unstoppable right now, quarterback. I think that they're going to have a chance to jump into that Final Four. They could really contend with Oregon for that fourth spot, because I think if Alabama keeps winning, they're going to be, you know, top two, top three in the playoffs. But can Oregon get jumped? Can another one of those teams get jumped by a Kansas State or by a TCU? And I think what's really going to help Alabama going forward, their lone loss is to the number 11 team that has two losses and is ahead of TCU's loss and ahead of Ohio State. So I think the Big Ten and the Big 12 could be on the outside looking in if Alabama makes a run. And if they went out and Mississippi State only lost it to Alabama, I think you see both those teams in the College Football Playoff, and that's where it's going to get interesting with a TCU and with an Oregon at the end of the season, or Kansas State, or maybe even Michigan State if they went out.
Edward Ashoff joining us in the zone. Well, let me ask you about this past weekend's games and any surprises with the SEC and the results. I know with Steve's pro, I've been saying that the visor is going to hang it up by the end of this year. No doubt in my mind. He's had it. He's known that South Carolina has reached the pinnacle. There's nowhere else to go but down from here. Unfortunately for my guy, I love him, but I think he can see himself taking it easy.
You really think the most competitive coach in all of sports is going to give up after a bad season? I don't see it. I think that he's going to stick it out. I don't know how many years he has left in the tank, but I don't think he quits after this year. He would not go out like that.
He would be my argument for that. The most competitive coach in all of college football knows he can't compete. He might as well just slit his wrists if that's going to be the case.
Yeah,
he's coming off 3 years of 11 wins. I mean, they never even had one until Steve Spurrier got there. He's going to have a better team next year. That defense is going to be better. It's going to be older. I think he definitely comes back to 2015. After that, I don't know. I do think that it is wearing on him mentally and a little physically that they haven't won the SEC. That's his big goal at South Carolina. I know, you know, I was there for his golf tournament when he said, I want the SEC. I'd be crazy. I'd be lying if I said I didn't. But I love beating Clemson. I love that fans look at that as a bigger win than in the SEC. I don't believe in his heart of hearts that he thinks that. I think he wants that as badly as possible. And he's going to keep fighting until he gets it. Maybe next year is his last chance. You know, we said at the beginning of the season, maybe this is his last chance. It's going to be tough because recruiting is only going to get harder and harder for South Carolina because of what George is doing. I mean, Missouri's making another run, believe it or not. I can't believe that team is still in it. Tennessee's getting better. And who knows about Florida? If Will Muschamp stays and they get a little bit of momentum, you know, they might pop back up on the recruiting trail. I know they've taken a little bit of a dive this season, but they have a chance. So I just can't see him leaving after a season like this.
Spurrier will coach until he croaks or he gets forced out. There's no way with that ego and that level of competitiveness, there's no way he's going to go sit in the basement or sit on a country club patio, you know, golf course patio. It ain't going to happen. He's got to be the center of attention. He's got to be in front of the camera. He ain't going to.
Well, then go in front of the camera. But I got news for him. He needs to shut it down. South Carolina's seen their better days. I'll go on the record with that. Listen, I love it.
One bad season, and you're throwing him out like that.
Yes. Here's the other question I have. I cannot understand for the life of me a Heisman winning quarterback as much success as he has, why aren't there quarterbacks in this country just lining up to be recruited and to play and to learn under him? It always seems like he's got so much frustration. The frustration level with his quarterback is, like, through the roof.
Well, I think Connor Shaw is an underrated player in South Carolina. I think he was one of the best players in the SEC last year. Dylan Thompson has thrown the ball all right. I certainly think at the end of the day, and, you know, this is I think a lot of people think this and just don't say it. I mean, South Carolina is a tough school to recruit to. You know, it's not as sexy as a Florida, as a Georgia, as an Alabama, as an LSU. It just doesn't have that spark, that cachet that you see in a lot of these other schools. And it doesn't matter who the coach is, but Spurrier's done a remarkable job bringing in talent to South Carolina. But I think it's going to be tough to lure in those top quarterbacks. I mean, the quarterback is the position. That's where the big guys go to the big schools. And South Carolina is always going to be fighting that, no matter who the coach is. But, I mean, for what he's had, I mean, Connor Shaw, nobody saw him making an NFL roster, and he made it. So I think that he's done a remarkable job of developing. But you're right. It's been tough for him to get those top-tier quarterbacks out of high school. And, you know, maybe Connor Mitch is the guy. Who knows? But it's going to be interesting to see going forward.
Edward, every year we talk about what coach would you want to sit down and hang out with in the SEC, maybe play a round of golf, maybe have a drink after or during one of his press conferences with him. And it's always Steve Spurrier. I don't want to see him leave. I want the visor to stay and continue on because he's so much fun to listen to.
I assure you that there's a lot of people around America right now that would pick our guy to play to hang out with.
Bert Beal.
There ain't no doubt about it.
I'd love to go out. Yeah, I'd love to go to the town with Bert Beal. No doubt about it.
Well, when's the next time you're Fayetteville? You might be able to. From what I heard. Nah, I'm just kidding. Edward Ashoff, how about this weekend's games? Expectations, which ones are you looking for? There's a lot of good ones, my man, a lot of good ones.
I think the big one's in Baton Rouge. Alabama, LSU, every single year since Nick Saban's been there in 2007, it's been big. Five times they've met as top 10 opponents. Four times the winner has won the SEC. They've gone 3-1 in BCS titles as the winner. And this one, that only loss was Alabama beating LSU. I mean, this is the biggest game of the weekend every single year because something is on the line. And this year, the playoff and the SEC are both on the line for both teams. If LSU wins, they have the chance of creating a domino effect of two lost teams in the West. They already have three if they beat Alabama. I think Auburn has a good chance of losing another one against a hungry Alabama team. Mississippi State could lose two more to Alabama and Ole Miss. It would be great chaos. It would be the perfect storm if LSU won, because you have so much drama in the last few weeks in the best conference in the country and the best division in the country, battling for what I think would just be one playoff spot if you have five two-loss teams in the West. So that's what I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for absolute chaos because it just makes for a better product. Again, this is a game and a war of attrition in the middle or up front. I think that it's going to come down to both lines. A'shaun Robinson versus Vidal Alexander. Can both those quarterbacks make some plays? I think it looks more like what we saw in 2011 in that 9-6 than what we saw last year when the offenses were kind of going up and down the field a little bit. I said 17-14 LSU. I think that they're just on a roll with those young guys. They're playing better. Leonard Fournette could do some damage against that Alabama front. But the key for me is Blake Sims. I just don't know if he can make some plays on such a talented secondary. They're number one in the SEC in pass defense, and opposing quarterbacks have a rating of 96 against LSU. That's the lowest in the entire country. So I think that they're going to bring pressure, and Tre'Davious White, Rashad Robinson, Jalen Collins are going to be able to contain Amari Cooper as much as possible. They did it with Laquon Treadwell, and I know Amari Cooper's better, but I like this LSU defense. I think they get it done. I think they force Blake Sims into some uncomfortable situations, and they win it late, and all chaos ensues in the SEC West.
I love it. That's probably the best game. That is the best game in the SEC. Really the only game. Yeah, Texas A&M at Auburn, no thanks. Georgia at Kentucky. I love Kentucky. I love that quarterback. Patrick Toles is an absolute animal.
Yeah, but we saw him against Missouri's defense, which I think right now is playing better than Georgia's defense, certainly, after he got just embarrassed by Florida. A Florida team that basically said, hey, Jeremy Pruitt, we're going to run. That's all we're going to do. And they ran for 418 yards on a soft Georgia front. So I don't think Kentucky pulls the upset, but it would not shock me because a couple of weeks ago when they had five wins, I said, you know what, I think it's going to be tough for them to make a bowl. And then I immediately changed my decision and said they're going to make a bowl game. They might not make it now, because if they lose this week and lose next week, it's going to be an uphill battle for Mark Stoops' team. I think right now they're mentally just out of it, especially after losing just an awful, awful game to Missouri.
Mm. All right, a couple questions then outside of the SEC, if I may.
Let's do it.
Okay. These will, just because it's fun, and we do our picks this weekend, so I'm looking for a little bit of advice. Number 12, Baylor, at number 15, Oklahoma, at 11 a.m. kickoff. Whew.
Oof.
Oklahoma, huh?
I like Baylor.
You
I
do?
Like Baylor. I like Baylor.
Okay.
They have a hot offense. Oklahoma is just not impressed. They're doing exactly what I thought they would do. I didn't think they'd be in the playoffs.
Notre Dame, number 10, Notre Dame at Arizona State. 2:30 kick.
I'm going to Arizona State.
Oh, come on, Edward.
They're hot. They're a hot team. You got to go with the hot hand at this point in the season. And Notre Dame, they lost the great one to Florida State, and then Navy took them down to the wire. Yeah. Arizona State has nothing but momentum. But starting quarterback, obviously out. That'll be interesting. But four straight wins for Arizona State, I like them.
Kansas State at TCU?
I'm going TCU. I love the TCU team. I think that they should be undefeated right now. They should be in the top three of the playoffs, but they just let one get away against a good Baylor team. I think TCU runs the table from here on out and challenges for that last spot in the playoffs.
Ooh, okay, two more. Ohio State at Michigan State.
You got to go with Michigan State.
Always, right? And I just figure, I don't know, you never know. 14-ranked Ohio State, they probably don't have any shot, but it'd be nice.
Game. I think it's a really good game. And Michigan State needs that win so badly so that people on that committee can start respecting them again, because they've pretty much been forgotten, and they could be a team that wins out, and if they don't win convincingly over Ohio State, still getting killed for that Virginia Tech loss, they're going to get knocked out of the playoff. And I don't think anybody saw that at the beginning of the season.
And last one at 9 p.m. Saturday night, ESPN, number 4, Oregon, number 17, Utah.
Oregon. Marcus Mariota's playing better. The defense does have to play better, but the offensive line is shaping up a little more. I think Mariota has a big night.
Is that your Heisman right now?
I'm still going Dak Prescott because of body of work. He's only down about 150 yards total offense from Mariota, but he's beaten 3 ranked opponents in a row, and he still has a great chance to be 2 more before the season's over with. I just think he's done well. He's been turnover prone lately, and Mariota's played better, but they're not too far off. I think he's a better power runner than Mariota.
Edward, fantastic job bringing some professionalism to this outfit we got going on today.
That's right.
We've been off the rails, my man.
Good job, Edward.
But you brought it back down for us.
Anytime.
Okay, buddy. I'm sorry that you were wrong about that Notre Dame pick, but everything else was really good that you said.
We'll see. I like Arizona State. I think you'll be.
Well, we all love Arizona State. Tempe. Tempe 10s, my man. Tempe
10s. There you go.
All right, buddy. Be careful. Have fun this weekend.
All right. We'll do.
All right.